You're now listening to the Inside Out Podcast with Jimmy Hunt. Get it.
Hello and welcome to Inside Out with Jimmy Hunt, your podcast destination for all things mental fitness. I'm Jimmy, and with me today is my lovely wife, Libby Grace. Hi, Libby.
Hi, Jimmy Hunt.
Today, we're diving into a fascinating aspect of a topic that we've touched on before. It's the five love languages, and it's one of our most listened to, talked about episodes of all time. But here's the twist on this one. We're not just talking about using these languages in relationships with others, but exploring how to apply them to the most important person in the world. You.
Me.
No, not you.
No, me.
I.
No, me.
Okay, them.
Me.
Yeah, you. So in our previous episode of the Five Love Languages, we basically unpacked how they function in relationships. But recently, it struck me, what if we turn this powerful tool inwards?
Ooh.
Yeah, sounds like I came up with it. I didn't. I was sitting down on the beach with my sign that basically says I'll talk to anyone about anything.
Not anymore.
It doesn't, but that's the easiest way to explain it to people. And a woman sat down who is doing a triple PhD in psychology.
Crazy.
Yeah.
She's a crazy woman.
She's like, I like learning. I'm like, you're nuts, lady. I was like, is that a lot of work? She's like, yeah, it's a lot of work.
That's amazing.
She's doing a one on sexology, one on couples therapy, and one on CBT.
That's actually insane. PhD in each. So actually
correct.
Writing
thesis. Like, three theses, three
papers. This is not insane. Normal behavior.
Smart girl. We had great conversations and we talked about a whole bunch of things, but we got talking about love languages. And she mentioned the fact that quite often we don't think about it personally. We only think about it interpersonally.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm going to steal that as an episode for my podcast and claim that I said that and came up with that myself.
You should have invited her as a guest. She sounds fascinating.
She's gone back to Mexico City already. But yeah, it was her idea. So we're here today. But it's really is a good concept, because when we think about how we love, we think about how we love externally or how we want to be loved externally. This is going inwards.
This is the scariest part.
It is. It is definitely the scariest part of it all. And that's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, I have thoughts on that.
Well, we talked about this at my group thing the other night where...
Explain your group thing, because that sounds...
That's a whole different podcast episode, which I will actually talk to about. But talking about walking towards fear, right? Mm-hmm. So all of your growth is on the other side of fear.
Mm-hmm.
And I told them an anecdote from, I don't remember where I even read it, but it was basically, it's a Native American analogy. And it's more an anecdote because it's actually real. So when there's a massive storm, like a lightning storm out on the plains, you've got some animals out there. You've got cows, but you've also got the bison or buffalo, whichever one it was. And when a lightning storm comes, the cows run away from it.
Mm-hmm.
So they see it coming from one direction and they run in the opposite direction. But the storm is faster than the cows. So the storm catches up to the cows. The cows keep running and then the storm eventually passes over them.
Right.
The bison or buffalo, whichever one it was, sees the storm coming and runs at the storm.
Oh, yeah. That's smart.
And then runs straight through the storm.
Faster.
So technically, the bison spend half as much time in the storm as the cows.
And half as much time worrying about it.
Yeah.
And being scared of it.
Exactly.
Mm. That's a very clever anecdote. It puts a lot of perspective on how you approach things that are scary. Because they're inevitable. What we're saying is the storm is inevitable.
Storm's inevitable.
The thing that's approaching you is inevitable. How you deal with it to get through it is the thing that is going to dictate how long it takes you to pass through it.
Yeah. And if someone says the storm's not inevitable, think about it like, imagine if the cows thought that there was a storm coming all the time.
Yeah.
So they were always running away from something that never actually turned up.
Yeah. And so those are, you're saying that those are our fears that are not real.
Yeah.
Our kind of irrational fears.
So you're running away from a non-existent storm.
Snakes do exist though.
Yes.
they are inevitable.
But if you're forever running away from a snake is non-existent in our property right now.
You don't know that. The grass is very long
out
there.
And so if you're always running away from that, well, then it's always just going to be catching you right on top of you.
The snake is inevitable.
Right. Stop derailing my podcast. Where was I? Well, basically, we're going to talk about five love languages and how we can apply them to ourselves. So whether you're a long-time listener or you're just listening for the first time, get ready for some insightful reflections and practical tips on nurturing your mental fitness by speaking your own love language.
This is exciting. We should tell listeners that you don't let me know what we're speaking about on our podcast until I turn up. So this is actually exciting for me.
Good. If you're excited, hopefully they're excited. So let's go. Hey listeners, a quick break from our usual programming to talk about something special. And it's not your typical ad because it's about my own mentoring and coaching service. I have two spots left in my 6-month mental fitness transformation program designed for serious life change and growth. It's personal, it's impactful, and it is waiting for you. So if you've been enjoying the podcast and think, oh, I could use a little bit more of this Jimmy guy in my life, well, here's your chance. Reach out, let's chat, and let's make some magic happen together. Just head over to jimmyhunt.com and you'll see everything you need to see right there. So yeah, I was down at the beach with this woman. She gave me this idea and I was just like, what a complete oversight that I had had, right? It's funny how we just have these blind spots. I talk about love languages all the time. I have read about them. I've studied them. And then I just never quite thought about, yeah, of course we could apply them to ourselves in terms of self-love. So here we are. And I've talked about self-love before. I mean, it is a huge component in mental fitness. I just hadn't put those two and two together. But before we deep dive into applying them on ourselves, let's quickly go over what they are. This concept, the five love languages, was developed by Dr. Gary Chapman and identifies basically five primary ways which people express and experience love. Understanding these can significantly improve our relationships with others and, as we'll discuss today, with ourselves. Libby and I, we have, quite different love languages.
Completely opposite would be.
We have the completely opposite love languages. And so to just go through them very quickly in no particular order. Number one, words of affirmation. So this is the language that we use to affirm other people. So compliments, encouragement, expressions of love and appreciation, they all sort of fall into these categories. And it's all about communication and verbal acknowledgement. That's words of affirmation. Acts of service.
Love it.
Yeah, we know that. Words of affirmation is actually my number one.
Yeah.
I like people saying nice things to me.
You're wonderful, Jimmy Hunt.
Thanks, but that didn't really sound sincere, so I'm not taking it on.
Wow. Okay, that's another episode. We need to talk about that.
Number two, acts of service. This is Libby's number one. My number five.
Obs.
For these individuals, actions speak louder than words. So doing something helpful or thoughtful, like cooking a meal or fixing something, It's a powerful expression of love and care. You got something to add to that?
It is. It's like just being wrapped up in a big hug when somebody does something for me.
Yeah, I don't really care.
Yeah, it's just feels so warm. Just hearing you describe what those things could be, I'm like, oh yes, doing a little job for me, or making me something, or building me a piece of furniture, or whatever it is you do.
Yeah,
lovely.
Number three, receiving gifts. Meh. This language isn't about materialism though; it's about the thought behind the gift. So, a well-chosen gift demonstrates, you know, knowing and caring about the person, showing love in a tangible way. And that's the thing, is that if you can possibly get me a gift, I love it. Because it shows real knowledge of me.
You are impossible.
Yep.
You and your father. I think we talked about this on the actual love languages. Yeah. You both are impossible to buy for.
Very hard. Number four, quality time.
Yay, quality time.
This means giving someone your undivided attention. Being present, engaging with them.
Turning your phone off.
Yeah, it could be a conversation, a shared activity, or just sitting together quietly.
That's also lovely.
For some people.
For me, I'm speaking from my direct experience.
Number five, last one, my number two, which is only like a percentage point behind my number one, so I'm really a top two, is physical touch. And to people who speak this love language, nothing is more impactful than physical touch. It's not just about intimacy, but it just includes hand-holding, hugs, pats, back scratch, or any physical expression of love. Those are your five love languages, ladies and gentlemen, in case you forgot them. If you want to know yours, you can always go to 5lovelanguages.com, do the quiz, takes about 5 or 10 minutes, completely free. And it will give you a percentage for all five of those, because we all have all five. Some are just a lot higher than others. All right. So now that we've sort of understood these again, let's get to the crux of this podcast. How can we apply them to ourselves? And so we'll go through in the same order. So we'll go back to words of affirmation. Now, words of affirmation, my number one. And so I like things said to me that are nice, mm-hmm. that affirm that I'm going in the right direction, I'm doing the right thing, I'm a good person, I'm helpful. Things like that really make me feel loved, obviously, but also just appreciated. And so that's a really big one. And so I sit here doing things, waiting for people to say nice things to me. Right? Literally. Right? That is my number one love language, and it is literal. Yeah. So I will send out a newsletter.
Right.
And I will wait for someone to respond to that newsletter saying, oh, this is really good. Thank you. I really found something interesting in that.
Yeah. Which you do get from time to time.
Yes, but not enough. Same with this podcast, right? The podcast is a lot harder. At least they have a direct reply from
the email.
Whereas the podcast actually makes me feel worse, because
you're putting yourself out there, and it's like an
empty black hole.
Yeah.
And it really is only when I meet people in person, or when someone is contacting me about something else, they'll go, I really love the podcast.
Yeah. By the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no one really directly responds to this. Mm-hmm. And so I find the podcast hard to really get involved in, because I don't have that direct feedback.
Right.
Because that's my number one love language, right? And so I sit here waiting, right, for love. Or I could just love myself with words of affirmation.
Yeah.
And so this is basically using words to build yourself up. And it is literally positive self-talk affirmations, and they play a crucial role in our mental fitness. So instead of self-criticism or self-doubt, we need to focus on speaking kindly and encouraging ourselves. So we need to create a habit of starting our day, at least, with affirmations that resonate with ourselves. So you can do a thing like keep a journal where you write down things that you appreciate about yourself, give yourself those words of affirmation. And this practice nurtures a positive self-image and reinforces basically our strengths and our values. As a lot of you know, I coach tennis. I've mentioned a couple of times that I think tennis players in particular have the worst self-talk I have ever come across in any facet. I will take abuse survivors over tennis players in regards to their self-talk.
It's not, you're not wrong. It's pretty bad.
They get so down on themselves, yeah, and they end up in this negative spiral, mm-hmm, of self-doubt and just horrible talk to themselves. And we have to reverse that.
Yeah.
I sent you a thing the other day of a interview with Rafael Nadal.
Yeah, amazing.
One of the greatest tennis players of all time. And there's an interview where this reporter said to him, oh my God, this is one of the highest pressure situations of your life. It was like a Grand Slam final.
He won the US Open.
Yeah, was it the US Open he won?
Yeah.
Right. And he's like, this was so much pressure and I've never seen you so calm out there. How did you stay so calm? And in his perfect little funny Spanish accent, he goes, oh, I was not calm.
I was definitely not calm.
He's like,
what are you talking about?
He's like, I was freaking out.
Yeah.
And he said, but negative body language and negative self-talk is of no help to me in this situation.
Yeah, that was
it
what
does
I,
not serve me.
That's what I took from it. The words he used was, is not helpful right now.
Yeah.
Talking to, having negative body language and talking to myself negatively is not helpful right now.
Yeah.
It was such, that little sentence really spoke to me. It's like, oh, that's, in this moment, that doesn't belong here.
Yeah.
For him.
Yeah. Yeah. And so if we are feeling some of that self-doubt, that negative self-talk, there are mantras. Like, as cheesy as this sounds, I walk around, as much as I can remember it during the day, saying, I love myself. 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 Over and over and over again. Another one I say to myself is, I am worthy and I am wanted. I am worthy and I am wanted. And just repeat it.
And so this always sparks the question about, do you have to believe it? And I think that's kind of important that we touch on, because you don't have to, because there's people who are, well, we've all got to a certain degree some self-worth issues potentially, yeah, or some.
I still don't believe that I'm worthy and wanted.
Right. And so for me,
I kind of believe that I'm worthy because I have so much stuff.
On paper, you think you're worthy, but on the inside, you don't necessarily believe
it. Yeah, so I don't, well, I feel I'm worthy. I don't feel I'm wanted.
Right. I got you.
Like, I don't feel like there's anyone out there that actually wants what I have.
But there actually is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, and that's the incongruence between
reality.
What I feel and what reality is.
Yeah, and that's the same. Like, I'm the same. I've had a lifetime of negative self-worth for so long. So when anyone would ever tell me, you know, just tell yourself these things, like believe this or say this mantra or whatever it is, I was always like, yeah, but I don't believe it. So that's not going to help.
Yeah.
And so I've
always. You repeat
always,
it until you believe it.
Yeah. And that's actually, you know, it's an old adage is fake it till you make it. And that applies to so many parts of life. But in this, it definitely does. Even if it doesn't feel real.
I don't like the fake it till you make it part of that. I like to think, like, just imagine if I had another version of me, or even someone you love, like you.
Telling you those things.
Just walking around with you all day saying, I love you, I love you, I love you, right? And you're worthy and you're wanted. Now, you might not believe it at the start, but if they just keep telling you that for a week, a month, a year, whatever it takes, at the end, you're going to look at them and go, you're right. I am loved and I am worthy.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, this is probably a whole different conversation, but there's people with so much damage, and I'm one of them, that if somebody tells me you're good at this, or you're loved, or you're amazing, or whatever. And I've had people tell me great things about me my whole life. I've never believed it. And no matter how many times they tell me, I'm like, but. Yeah.
Well, then you got to tell yourself.
That's what I'm saying. And so, but my point is, the fake it until you make it is very much you just have to, it's a process. You have to, you don't have to believe it at first, but the power of words carry a lot of energy to them. So just saying the words will actually transform over time. And it might, for somebody like me, that might take years, and that's fine. Somebody else, it might take, you know, a matter of weeks or days or whatever, but it is in a sense faking it until you make it. It's like, okay, I'm just going to do the process. I'm just going to do the reps until I get to the point where actually, oh, I feel a little bit lighter saying that than I used to, or that does resonate a tiny bit more. I'm not jumping in with a butt straight away as much as I used to.
Yep.
So yeah, it's something that I'm going to take on board, because I can't remember where my love languages sit right now, but words of affirmation, I think, is my number two.
Yeah, it used to be your number four.
It was lower, yeah, but it's become higher. And so that's something I'm going to take away. And even when you talk about playing tennis, there's times where I'll hit a bad shot and I'll be like, oh my God, you're useless. How could you miss that? And it's like, oh my God, this is ridiculous. I'm not even a pro.
And yeah, and think about, imagine if your best friend
says that to you.
Was sitting next to the court.
Yeah.
And you hit a shot like that and she yelled out at you, oh, God, you're useless. I can't believe you did that.
I know.
You're so shit.
I know.
Just look at her and go, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
You can quiet up. You got no.
Yeah. That's a good way of reframing. And I've used that on myself and with people who I've helped with this subject is say, I actually say to them, don't talk to my friend like that. If they say something, I'll say to them, don't talk to my friend like that. That's disrespectful. And they're like, whoa.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, okay,
that's
shit.
Actually a really good line. If someone says something bad about themselves, don't talk to my friend like that.
Yeah.
That's a great line.
It's really nice. It kind of hits the mark. And they're like, oh, okay, yeah, gotcha.
All right. I'm stuck too long on my number one. Number two, acts of service. So an act of service for self-love means doing things that benefit your well-being. So basically establishing self-care routines that prioritize your health and happiness. And so it could be as simple as preparing a healthy meal, organizing your living space, or scheduling regular health checkups, whatever it is. These acts are a way of showing respect and care for your own needs. It's about acknowledging that you deserve time and effort just as you would invest in caring for others.
Mm. It's a big one. I know that I do outward expressions of acts of service all the time.
Yeah.
Constantly. And even if I'm feeling crappy and if I'm angry or mad or something's going on, I'll go and do an outward act of service for someone rather than myself. And it's just like, what are you doing? You're just hollowing out the emptiness even deeper.
What was the last act of service that you did for self-love?
Come back to me.
Exactly. Exactly. So it is your number one love language, and you can't, off the top of your head, think of the last time that you did that, right?
No, I can't.
Whereas... like words of affirmation, I can tell you exactly the last time that I did that.
It was an hour ago.
For self-love. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so it's only because I recently learned this and started doing it. But you know the point.
I get it.
Number three is receiving gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, treating yourself is a wonderful application of love language. But what I really dislike is when you look at self-care out in the general world, it's all about going and like buying stuff for yourself.
Yeah.
Instead of like, because again, if gifts are low on your love language, it's actually not that good.
Yeah.
And there's a really fine line. Like, you have a very good friend who tries to receive gifts as self-love constantly.
Yeah. Filling up a hole.
Doesn't fill the void.
Yeah, no, no, she does.
There's a difference yeah. between this. So what
she's very generous as well. She outwardly, I don't know her love language actually. We've not talked about it, but I'm assuming it's gift giving because she's extremely generous at giving, but she's also buying for herself a lot to fill up that.
Yeah. So receiving gifts, it's not about materialism. It's about acknowledging your worth and celebrating yourself. So like a gift to yourself could be like a book that you've been wanting to read.
Yeah.
Right? Or a special item that brings you joy, or even investing in experiences like a workshop or mentoring and coaching from a really good podcaster.
Oh, that's a great idea as a Christmas gift.
Or a small trip or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So these gifts are tokens of self-appreciation and they can really sort of act as reminders for our own self-worth, our value and our achievements.
I feel like even moving a little bit away to the side of that is that one of those gifts, if it is something special and sweet and meaningful, it could be your memento mori that you have as a, you know, it can have a double purpose. Like you could have something that you constantly are viewing and it's in your periphery all the time, but it's also a treat that you got for yourself, but also serves a dual purpose. I just had a thought of something I would put on my desk, for example, that reminds me of my place in life and that we're all going to die one day and all of that sort of stuff. But it's also a really sweet thing that I enjoy looking at. It kind of has a double purpose in that way.
Yeah. Number 4, quality time.
Oh, bring it on.
So this was the girl on the beach's number one love language.
Oh, yeah.
And this is sort of what started our conversation. And so spending quality time with your lover or your intimate partner, your friends, you know, that's how you show and receive love in relationships, interpersonally. But quality time with yourself is crucial for self-reflection and relaxation. So you can engage in hobbies or activities that you love. You can take time to meditate or simply enjoy moments of solitude. Read that book that you just got yourself as a little gift.
Mm.
And this could be a peaceful walk, pursuing a creative hobby, reading, whatever it is. But quality time alone allows you to reconnect with your inner self, process your thoughts and emotions, and recharge mentally and emotionally. I just had a thought, and that thought is one of my best friends, his love language is quality time. And he is like just, I think, one of the most, I don't even know the word for it. He does self-love so well in terms of quality time that he regularly just excuses himself from places, things, and goes and just chills out by himself.
Right.
Mark.
Oh, I was like, I'm trying to think of who this is. And then, yeah, that makes sense.
Right?
Yeah.
For the 20-odd years I've known him, he really loves on himself with quality time.
Yeah.
He loves, he'll go for a swim by himself. He'll go to the beach by himself. He'll go for a drive by himself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He'll just chill out at home by himself.
Yeah.
And if he spends too much time with other people,
he has to extract himself a bit.
He extracts himself and he goes and spends a little bit of time by himself.
Yeah.
He really prioritizes his own self-love through the act of quality time with himself.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool. And number 5, physical touch.
I mean, keep it PG.
Well, you don't have to. Physical touch can be...
can be X-rated.
X-rated if you wish it to be.
Totally can.
But it's not just for interpersonal relationships or self-flagellation.
What?
It's also vital for your self-love. So you can do things like self-massage.
Mm-hmm.
Yoga can even be touch. A warm bath can be touch. You can do regular exercise, stretching, or even like cuddling up with a soft blanket is touch. And so all of these actions can release endorphins and improve your physical and mental state, showing love and care for your body.
Mm.
And we just always sort of think of touch as an external thing.
Yeah.
You know what I have said if I ever become really wealthy.
Yes, in that you have a salaried or more than one salaried person.
Because they're going to need breaks.
Need shifts to literally gently stroke your back.
Correct.
And that you will pay them and there is nothing expected of them in return except for they literally gently stroke your back.
Exactly.
It's one of the first things you ever told me in our relationship. And I was like, okay. And I said, how much are you paying them? And at the time you said $30,000 a year. I was like, that is not enough.
Yeah, it was for like part-time job. So it'd be like $30,000 each to turn up.
It's constant. Full-time. You're literally... Anyway.
I don't need it's not constant. It's just regularly. Be a good part-time driver, someone.
If anyone's interested, there's a 30,000.
Well, I don't have the money right now.
Oh, right. But you can work on commission.
So share this podcast. Help me get to 1 trillion subscribers so that I can hire these people. But yeah, like, it's physical touch.
Yeah, the fact that you even thought that you were going to outsource this, it's so important to you.
Exactly.
It's so important
to you. That's my number one love language. And so what is the alternative to that, that I can show self-love?
One of those little back scratches.
Get a little back scratcher.
Those little ones that are a hand.
Exactly.
For a monkey paw.
Exactly.
Oh, my God, I've totally nailed your Christmas present this year.
Exactly, right? So, like, you can do that. Even just to sit down, you know, like with a feather and touch your legs, you know, any sort of touch like that you can give to yourself.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those are the 5 love languages and how you can apply them to yourself. Now it is time for our challenge of the week.
Okay.
It's the first ever challenge of the week.
This is why I've got this look on my face, like, what's happening?
I said it like, we do it every week.
Yeah. We're starting now.
And Libby was like, what? But I am going to do it every week. And because for so many times during this podcast, I have absolutely said, this is a practical podcast.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that I have noticed over 12 years of doing this is that people love to collect information and then do fuck all with that information and not actually physically change their lives because of it. And so much of my recent work has been about, okay, here's the thing. Here's how you can apply it. Now go apply it.
Yeah.
And this is the now go apply it part.
Okay.
So my challenge of the week this week is I want you to focus on one of the love languages that we have discussed today and
I've got
apply
mine.
It to yourself. And so this is it. I'm not asking for a whole lot. Just pick one.
Mm.
And I would highly suggest you pick your number one love language.
No, I'm not going to.
You're not?
I'm going to pick my number two.
Or number one or number two.
Mm-hmm.
Don't pick your number five. Right.
Okay. Buy myself lots of gifts.
Yeah, definitely don't pick number 5. So I want you to focus on one of your love languages and apply it to yourself. And so here's how you can do it. Choose a love language that resonates with you the most or second most. And if you don't know your top love languages, again, go to 5lovelanguages.com, take the test. It's a wonderful way to really figure out how you navigate through this world. Then I want you to set a small, achievable goal related to this language. For example, if it's words of affirmation, write down 3 positive affirmations and repeat them to yourself every morning. If it's quality time, dedicate an hour this week to doing something that you love alone without distractions. What's yours? What's your love language to start?
I'm going to do words of affirmation.
Okay. And what are you going to do?
I'm going to do, well, I haven't figured out the words yet, but I'm going to find myself something like you were saying about I love myself or whatever and just repeat it.
Yeah. And the key to any change like that, especially your one, this is a tip for your one in particular, is that you have to make it visible. This is one of James Clear's number one tips on habit change. If we're like, oh, okay, I'm just going to say I love myself to myself all the time, right? Something really simple like that. And then you get to the end of the day and you're like, oh, shit, I never actually said it.
Yeah.
Right? Because life.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you want to actually commit to that affirmation, I do things like put multiple alarms in my phone to make me conscious of it. So when that alarm goes off, boom, right, I need to say that until I forget. I put a new screensaver on my phone. So every time I open my phone, it reminds me. Write post-it notes, put them on your fridge, put them on your computer, whatever it is. These are my standard instructions for creating a conscious habit change.
Yeah.
And so if you want to love yourself, rather than just doing it, I mean, you can schedule it for every morning. That's nice. But if you want to continue it over the day, you've got to set other things in place to make sure it happens.
One thing I used to do, this is going back quite a few years, is that when I was going through a bit of a downtime, I think it was my counselor who said it to me at the time, said, every time you look in the mirror, like look yourself in the eye and say, I love you. And at first it was like, oh, that feels so awful. Like it really scared me to do it. And it felt really ugly to do it because I didn't believe it. But I made it a every day when I would be brushing my teeth or whatever it was I was doing first thing in the morning, I'd look at like look myself in the eye and say, I love you. And it did help. It helped me kind of get through a period that was really, really difficult. I remember giving that piece of advice to a young woman who used to work for me. And she said it first. She's like, there's no way I could look in the mirror and say that. And then she did it. And she was like, oh, my God, Libby, that was so powerful. It made me cry. I was like, yeah. Ah. So that, for me, that's a visible. I mean, it's the words you're saying, the words, but you're also like looking at something at the same time.
Yeah, we should do a whole another episode on self-love.
I mean, we could do 1,000 episodes on self-love.
I think there's a lot more that I've got at the top of my head that I would like to talk about with that. But to finish this one up, the key here is to be intentional and mindful of the practice, whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like I might do a bit of quality time as well, because that is one thing. When you said, when was the last time I did. Oh, no, an act of service it was.
Yeah.
I feel, sorry, acts of service. When was the last time I ever did something that was just for me, that was loving on me? It's like, I can't remember. And that's not great.
No, it's not great.
So maybe I'm going to do both.
You're welcome.
I'm going to be very busy for the next week.
Yeah. And so when you do it, notice how it makes you feel and whether it impacts your mood or your outlook. Right? Because what we need to do when we're creating this change is to acknowledge the positive benefits of the change.
Yeah.
Because if we just do it and don't think about it or don't feel about it, then we're less likely to do it the next time.
Yeah.
So when you do it, acknowledge it.
Yeah.
Feel into it.
It's intentional in that
way. Yeah. And go, yeah, this has made my day / my life better. Because I've sat down and given some self-love to a love language that needed nurturing.
Yeah, I feel like a week's a good length of time to get a gauge on if your mood improved over the week as well. Because it's not going to be the first time you do it. You're going to be like, oh, everything's wonderful.
No. But this is it. None of these things are like hit it and quit it.
Yeah.
These are all tools that we take with us forever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really good to put in a good solid practice at the start so that you understand the tool, you know the intricacies of it, and you can then apply it in the future whenever you need it.
Yeah.
And there are lots of tools that I spent 3 months, 6 months, a year working on that right now I do not use consistently. But if the need arose, then I could pull that out at any time and utilize it.
Yeah.
All right, let's sum up today, ladies and gentlemen. So as we wrap this up, we'll recap. We dived into the five love languages, of course, not just in the context of relationships, but of ourselves. And we talked about the importance of self-talk, positive self-talk, self-care routines, treating ourselves, spending quality time alone, and the benefits of physical touch. But I want you to remember that the journey to mental fitness and self-love is ongoing and deeply personal. Because it's about finding what resonates with you and incorporating it into your life in a way that brings joy and fulfillment. If you found today's episode helpful, please subscribe and share it with your friends or family who might also benefit. Your support means the world, and it's what keeps this podcast going. Your words of affirmation. Don't forget to tune in for our next episode. We'll be exploring another exciting aspect of mental fitness. And until then, take care of yourselves and keep speaking your own love language. I'm Jimmy Hunt. That's Libby Grace.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Inside Out with Jimmy Hunt. Much love to you all. Bye-bye now.
That was Inside Out with Jimmy Hunt. See you next time.